Today, I'm talking to Lisa Bennett with Atlanta Fine Homes, Sotheby's International Realty, and Breakthrough Luxury Coaching Member. This intro is going to be a little bit longer than the typical one-minute intro for our show. Make sure you listen so you can understand the challenges she's overcome and what she's sharing with us today. But let's start with her success. Lisa was recently featured in Emerge Magazine and as the cover story in Good News Notebook Magazine. She is the powerhouse in real estate, renowned for white glove service to buyers and sellers, including builders and developers across Atlanta. She came into the business on the finance side. She was working with mortgages. This was the path that prepared her for opportunity in the Great Recession, when she discovered she's got a talent for negotiating short sales and foreclosures, and not just any short sale or foreclosure, but those in luxury. These challenges of 2008 came to Lisa fast, and even faster, she turned them into opportunity. While so many of us recall 2008 as some of the toughest times in our career, it barely touches the surface for Lisa. In a period of 2 years, she lost almost 10 of her closest family members. During this period, she overcame. She talks about her mindset and how she did it and continued to grow her business and sell more real estate. Soon after her family losses, as if it weren't enough, something else happened, something tragic. She learned just after COVID, she had a rare cancer, unresponsive to chemo as well as radiation. Doctors told Lisa, "This cancer is going to take you or your leg. You choose." She chose her leg, and they amputated it just over a year ago in June of 2021. Lisa had to relearn to walk and drive among a long list of so many things that most of us take for granted every day. Despite all of this, this woman does not stop. She is relentless in every aspect of the meaning of the word. It's been just over a year, and she manages to list more properties and represent more investors and builders. Investors and builders of homes in the dozens and even the hundreds. Today, Lisa shares with us how to prosper, even in the face of great challenges. Thank you for listening to the Jerry Metcalf Podcast, where top real estate agents tell how they do it. This podcast was created for real estate agents across the country to come together, sharing ideas to take your, their, and our business to the next level. Our episodes are powered by Breakthrough Luxury Coaching and Membership. This is a coaching platform that was created and inspired by Jerry Metcalf Podcast, where top real estate agents tell how they do it. At Breakthrough Luxury Coaching, this is coaching and membership that provides luxury real estate agents community and coaching that create results. To learn more, go to getstarted.breakthroughluxury.com. To get the full story, go direct to the homepage at breakthroughluxury.com. There's a letter from me explaining how all of this came together, and this is now launched and a big part and powered by the Jerry Metcalf Podcast. Last but not least, thank you to our sponsors. Thank you, Modern Luxury Magazine, who's been there through the ups and downs and some of the greatest successes of my career as a real estate agent. At Modern Luxury, connection and community define who we are. Modern Luxury is the nation's largest media company, offering leading brands access to the most affluent audiences in the most prominent cities across the United States of America. And lookbooklink.com, thank you for your sponsorship. This is the digital business card, your digital business card, and it's here. To see mine, go to lookbooklink.com/JMP. Create your own with ease in minutes. You don't even need your kids' help. And you'll have a custom name and a custom QR code for sharing. It shares not only your contact info, it shares key resources for your prospects as you meet people. Your prospects and people that you meet will not only never lose your information, they'll see right away why to hire and refer you without you saying a word. Go to lookbooklink.com and use promo code JMP123 for 10% savings on every Lookbook Link you purchase. And now for the show. All right, everybody. It's the Jerry Metcalf podcast where top real estate agents tell how they do it. And today we have on the show a really good friend of mine, Lisa Bennett with Atlanta Fine Homes, Sotheby's International Realty. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh my God. Thank you so much, Jerry, for having me.
Well, it is so good to see you. And for those of you who are not listening to the downloaded audio version, if you're watching this online, you need to hear a little bit about Lisa. So Lisa, first of all, is, and I think you know this, when I've had this podcast over almost 6 years, mm-hmm. I have always had agents from other markets. The agents from Atlanta were on my team. And there were, I think there were only two. Lisa, you are the first agent on the show in Atlanta, and I could not think of a better person. So everybody, Lisa has been with me from the start. As you guys know, we're doing Breakthrough Luxury. She's a JM Partner, Breakthrough Luxury member. That is our coaching membership. But in addition to that, your success is unreal. So right now, in a market where inventory is tight and everybody's like, what's the heck's going on? Is it hot or not? You have quiet inventory, a portfolio of it. You represent investors both who are buying and selling. And you have quiet on-market and off-market listings. And we're talking about like at least 100 properties. So everybody, that's who you're talking to today. And by the way, she's been a colleague of mine for over 10 years. So Lisa, welcome to the show. And I'm going to add one more thing. In all of this and what she has in her amazing success, Lisa, we're going to talk a little bit about this. She has lost 8 close family members in 2 years in the time of her career. And then most recently, God took 5 close family members. She got through that. And a few years later, and just a year ago, she basically, God said, all right, you got over that. Now we're going to take your leg. I've never seen somebody go through something like that and have the kind of faith, positivity, stamina. You have been such an inspiration to me and to everyone in your world. And you have not let anything stop you. It's amazing. So it's an honor again to have you on the show today. Thank you.
You are so welcome, Joy, Jerry. And I'm so excited to be on your show. You bring such a light to our industry and to our coaching call. So thank you for everything that you do as well.
Thank you. So in that, Lisa,
yeah,
I gave him all that. And I didn't even mention, not only have you been a real estate agent for 15 years, you own a mortgage company for 11 years. All of that said, how and why in the world did you get into the business in the first place? What happened?
So I owned the mortgage company for 11 and a half years, and I worked with developers, investors, and builders at that time. I was doing all their mortgages, but I was also finding them off-market properties. And so I really like the residential, and I do some commercial business of real estate, architecture, and design. So I said, why don't I go back, get my license? I could focus on real estate and get a commission doing it. And so that's what drove me to real estate.
And so you were in mortgages from what year to what year?
So I started in mortgages, I would say, in 2004. And up until the time that I came to Atlanta Fine Homes, which was, I believe, in 2008, the end of 2008, and continued after that as well. So I did mortgages as well as residential real estate at the time.
And so now we're into halfway through 2022, and here you are, real estate agent. Mm-hmm. Who's got the edge on this market, unlike so many. So why, you told us why. Now, as you broke into real estate, what did the beginning look like? You came out of mortgages, you understood real estate, you understood investments. What was your biggest advantage coming in? And then what was the biggest obstacle you overcame that you didn't really see coming?
So actually coming into the business, I came in when the market was in disarray. The advantage that I had is because-
2008.
Yeah, everyone had to pivot at that time. So I had the real estate background, so I was already doing short sales before they were fashionable, before it was the norm. And so I could put a short sale together in no time, and I could cut down my time of acceptance for my short time by some of them I got approved in 2 weeks, some of them I got approved in 3 months, because I knew the lingo and I knew what
Oh,
the mortgage companies were looking for. So that was an advantage for me.
and you were used to putting that together just to get loans approved, right? From our packages, I should say.
So for some investors, they if you found some off-market properties or properties that people were losing, I had would have to put short sales together for them, because they were getting the properties at a discounted rate. So I was already doing that for some investors.
Wow. Okay. So coming into that, you come in, you've got an edge then because you understand short sales and you understand banks. But as you came through, now the market starts to normalize. What did your business turn into? You go into short sales, and then what happens? As things start to normalize, yeah.
Doing short sales, and I was doing probably like 40 properties with Fannie Mae with short sales, because we had another department adjacent to Atlanta Fine Homes. It was Atlanta REO. So we were getting getting properties from an asset management company. So as that started to phase out, I always had my regular business. And I had a database, and I would just work my database, and I'm really good at networking. So that is a strong point for me. I really get out and I'll hit the pavement. I utilized and also capitalized off of my connections, organizations that I was involved with. And I don't know if it's luck, but or God just shining down on me. I was always able to transfer that into some kind of business.
Wow. So now you say that, but a few things. So coming into business, you were in mortgages, you knew that business, and then you start cultivating business by cultivating, developing relationships. So when you meet somebody, as you develop relationships, what are the things you ask them and ask yourself? How do you find the opportunity?
So the way that I approach it is, I really tried to build that relationship and that rapport with a client first. I don't just go in for the business, because you need to be authentic. You also need to bring something of value to that person. And so I don't just go into it looking for what can I get out of the person, what can I bring to the person, and in turn, I'm going to be first of mind if they have some kind of real estate need. And so I always go in again, cultivating relationships. I go to dinner with people, coffee. I create events. I have a doggy birthday party where a lot of my clients bring their dogs and they dress their dogs up. And I have it catered and cocktails. And it's a thing. And people always ask me, when are we having the doggy party? So
I
I create.
love it.
It's so cute. I send out really cute invitations, the whole bit. And I make it a big production. I have fire throwers, I had jugglers, I have all kind of stuff. And so, I bring business-minded people together that are professional, and we share information and resources. And in doing that, I brought together some builders and developers, and that's how I started on that road to dealing
With a
with,
doggy party?
yes, with the
That's the
dog.
best.
Yes. So one of my husband's friends came to the party and he said, "Hey, I'm gonna bring my friend. He's a builder." And I'm like, "Sure." So he came to the party and he told me, "Hey, I have some clients I want to introduce you to, some investors." And so I started working with them, and I was doing design work for them and selling their properties. And then it morphed into, hey, let me introduce you to some of my colleagues. And it just started to grow and grow. And next thing you know, that was my niche.
Wow. Now you say that was your niche. That's working with builders and investors
And developers.
and developers. And in doing that, you help build their portfolio, or exactly what do you do for them?
So what I do for them is I find them their investments, and I go in and assess the numbers for them. And once we identify that it's a, a project that is going to bring a return on investment, then I bring in the architect if we need to do a tear down to build a new property, or if it's an existing property that they're going to remodel and I need to reallocate the space or add on to it. The architect comes in, I give him the vision, he goes back, puts the plans together, he sends the plans over to us, I go through it, I redline it and give them my notes of what I think the property should look like based on what's selling in the market. And it's a collaboration. And then once we solidify a plan, we go to permitting, or if it's a historical property, I know all the UDC presidents, so I will attend meetings. Once we solidify permitting, then I do all the design work for them as well. So I pick out all the finishes, lighting, plumbing fixtures, paint colors, and then I put it back on the market and market it for them. So I am a one-stop shop, which really, it takes a big load off of the investor and the builder's plate. And so all they have to do is focus on building.
So you said earlier, I mean, by the way, beautiful. Like, you know, when somebody really knows something, when they can go into that kind of detail about how it goes down. Mm-hmm. And you said that ended up being my niche. So it sounds like you kind of discovered and figured out you were good at this. How did you figure that out? How did you know?
Well, I always liked design and architecture. And even before I became an agent, I always bought home magazines. I always went out and looked at properties. Yes, I was the one that came to your open house.
And you weren't an agent, right?
Yes. And I've bought real estate.
Or buying. Design, yeah.
But I've always just liked the design and architecture of property. So it was something that was just a joy to me. So it was a natural progression to go into it.
So I'm going to call you out on this, because everybody loves to look at floor plans and houses, or everybody that gets into real estate, and most of them don't make it. What was the difference between you and them?
Well, the difference between me and them is, number one, I was already a real estate agent. I was very passionate about what I was doing, and it was something that I wanted to do, and I was successful at it. And the builders and developers seen the value in it. So yeah, that's the difference. And I could deliver on the product.
And when you deliver, is that because you have the connections? Is that because you have the know-how? Is it because you have, what is it that you have that gives you the ability to deliver? Because I think everybody would if they could.
Well, you say that, but it's not that easy. And not all agents have that ability to mm-hmm. take a project from beginning to end. Most real estate agents focus on just marketing a property. It really takes a special type of real estate agent to be able to go in and see the vision, to really lay out a floor plan
mm-hmm.
or know what walls to take down, or know how to, the flow of a property. And then not only that, to pull all the tile work and the colors and the right plumbing fixtures together. It sounds easy, but when you get into it, it is not that easy.
Well, and in doing that, I would think that once you pull all of that together, your ability to market the property, you already have the information. You already know what the perks are. You know what to highlight. You know what doesn't need to be highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
So that people, because people only have the capacity to remember and pay attention so much, because a lot of what to market depends on what the demand out in the market is.
That's correct. Well. That's correct.
So you start meeting, you're having doggy parties. You start meeting these builders and developers. At what point did you know you had something to offer? And at what point do you think you really gained trajectory in this? When was that moment?
So the moment was when I was doing contemporary properties, because when I started doing them, Atlanta wasn't really focused on contemporary properties. We're really more mm-hmm. of a traditional. And then they got into the transitional traditional, but there wasn't a multitude of contemporaries. And so I was working with the builder and we were doing true contemporaries. And so that's when it really clicked, that this is a niche that I got excited over plumbing fixtures and colors. And I mean, just the whole watching the house come to fruition. Spray foam installation. Who gets excited over spray foam installation? Well, with this property, how I knew I had something, because this property that we were building was going to be on a very busy street. And so I said, we have to, on the front end, we need to counteract all our objections, not having to back up onto a busy street. It's going to be busy. You know, it's going to be loud. How do we counteract these things? We put a full courtyard in the front of the house with concrete pavers with the grass in between, where you could park 10 cars. So the homeowner would never have to back up onto the street. And you have parking if you had a party for your guests. And then we use spray foam insulation. We use for the windows. We use sound barrier windows. It was a little more expensive, but however, we counteracted all those objections of a homeowner coming in there saying, oh, it's too loud in here, or this, or I, you know, couldn't back up. And then the other thing is everyone thought that we would never be able to get the price point that we did. Well, when we put it on the market, we put it on the market at $1,450,000. I sold it for $1,500,000. And so I knew that I was onto something. Developers started to call me because they're like, we really can't see you selling that property for $1,400,000 in that neighborhood. We did. So now all the developers started to come to that neighborhood, you know, and it was La Vista Park at the time. And then La Vista Park got annexed into Brookhaven. So now you see a ton of investors in that area building contemporary, true contemporary. And now we're getting a lot of people moving from like Florida, New York, California, and there is a niche and a need for it. And so that's when I knew I was really onto something.
So there's so many lessons that, because it's, first of all, have something other people don't have in your product, which was contemporary homes, because I remember, because that was when at our sales meetings, all the listings were yours.
Yes.
There was no meeting where you didn't have several listings. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's still that way. And the other thing is have what no one else does in product and service. And then the next thing is whatever your obstacles are, number one, mitigate them. But number two, recognize them as opportunities. They're opportunities to break into a market because you already have other things no one else has. You had the vision, you had the product, and you had the service no one else had. And then you're able to build a product that still met the demands of what the buyer wanted. Because lesson number three is don't assume.
Exactly.
Prices change and markets change over time because things don't stay the same. So when you see a product and that, or you have something in your mind that hasn't worked in the past, go deeper and ask yourself the question, well, that price hasn't sold on that busy street ever and it never will. Well, is it, what are the things that really aren't selling? Mm-hmm. And what do you have control of?
Exactly.
To shift and adjust and change to create value for a buyer. Because a buyer doesn't go to sales meetings and doesn't listen to the economist calls and other real estate agents talk about what does it sell. A buyer looks for what they want.
Exactly.
And that's, and you create and show them what they want from product to services to buyers, sellers, and your investor clients.
And went a step forward with it, because as we built the house, key features of the house, I started to write stories about them and put them out in the marketplace and created a buzz around that. And I also went in and did raw footage of construction and narrated those raw footage, and people liked it. And so I really created a buzz around this house. And when I did the sneak peek, I had 160 people that came through there.
I remember that.
Including the buyer. Yes.
Wow. So create a buzz. And to create a buzz, tell the story. Mm-hmm. Raw footage is a good thing. People love raw because people love real. And yeah. Narrate. Tell back to telling a story and narrate, be you, keep it real.
Exactly.
And you've done that in marketing and selling properties. And you've done that with the doggy parties and everything else you do in building relationships and building a network of investors.
Exactly.
To put you in the position you are today. Despite the fact, by the way, only a year ago, I can't even say it, Lisa, you lost your entire leg was removed because you were diagnosed with cancer that you were told not only do you have cancer, but it cannot be treated by radiation nor chemotherapy.
Yes, I had a soft tissue sarcoma, and the only way to get it out is to cut it out. And so it was, I had had three surgeries. The third surgery was for them to go in and remove this big mass that was in my thigh and to biopsy it. The doctor knew it was cancer, but he didn't ever say that. But you know when the doctor tells you, I'm worried about you. And I got fast tracked to the best doctor that specializes in sarcomas, and he's on the two national teams, and he's phenomenal. And
Wow.
so I was recovering from that surgery, and then they called me and said, we got the biopsy back. It's cancer, and we need you to come in for your post appointment. But they were going to do an MRI and get the results to make sure that the margins were all clear for that surgery. Then I would go see the doctor. Not in a million years did I think that I was going to lose my leg. But it was interesting because one night I had a dream and I couldn't see my leg. And so anyone that knows me knows I meditate and I pray all the time and I get a lot of visions. But I just still didn't take that to heart because who thinks they're going to lose their leg? And by the way, it is my right leg. So that is the leg that you drive with.
Yeah.
When I went in there, he said, I have good news. We got all the cancer, but we're going to have to amputate your leg. We cannot save it. And if I could, I would. He said all in the same breath that prosthetics are advanced. I got you set up with the
You
prosthetic.
didn't hear that.
We're going to do a consultation. And so I'm like, but I'm going to lose my leg. And he's like, yes. And he's like, well, do you want to go home and discuss it with your family? I said, well, there's nothing to discuss because you've already told me if I don't amputate my leg, I'm going to die. There's nothing to discuss. Let's get the schedule out. Can we do the surgery tomorrow? You know, because I couldn't risk
Yeah.
that it was going to spread to other parts of my body, which it would have spread to my lungs because the type of cancer that I have, that's where it goes. But how massive the tumors were in my leg because it was going from my calf. It's growing out of the bone, back into the bone, wrapping around the tendons, the muscles, the nerves, wrapping up my leg, around the knee, and into my thigh. So it was massive. And so that's why they had to take the whole leg.
Yeah.
And so I came home, you know, I started researching prosthetics. He already had me set up with the best prosthetic team that I was going to go consult with the next day. And like I was making notes, questions, and my friend came over and she brought a picture of Paul McCartney's wife. And she had a prosthetic leg and she had heels. And so anybody who knows me knows I love my heels. So I'm like, okay, she got heels on. Okay, I could do this. I'm good. So, you know, we go to
Yeah.
the prosthetic office and I said, I just have to ask you two things. And they said, okay, what is it? My daughter was there with me. I brought my daughter. She was the one that was going to take the notes. So I said, how long will it take me to walk and will I be able to get in my heels? And she started laughing. I said, you see where my priorities are. She says, okay, our short-term goal is for you to walk. The long-term goal will be able for you to get in heels. You will get in heels, but let's not focus on that yet. I said, okay, as long as I just have the hope to
As
get
long
back.
as you know, right?
So from there, I never looked back. I mean, I went through the prosthetic team. They were phenomenal. I went back in there. My surgery was June 29th. September, I was asked to be a breakout session keynote speaker for Level Up Sotheby's in California. And so I went in there and I said, look, I'm going to be a keynote speaker. I'm going to need my leg before I go, and I'm going to need to know how to walk.
Love it.
You guys
Yeah.
got to make that happen. They made it happen. I had physical therapy 2 weeks before I left. I went in there. I said, look, I'm going to have to walk up on the stage. I'm going to need to walk up five stairs. We need to focus on that, you know. So they're like,
Yeah.
oh my God, we just can't believe you. What are you going to come in here with next, you know? So
I love it.
I say all that to say that no matter what your circumstances are, you never let it define you. You know, I chose to live. I choose to be abundant in life, meaning financially, spiritually, physically, mentally, you know. And I'm just anyone that knows me from childhood, know I'm never going to let anything break me. I'm going to live my life to the fullest. And I was happy and productive prior to that. And I choose to be happy and productive now. So
no matter what your circumstances, don't let them define you.
Yes.
How did you learn that?
My mother and my aunt and my grandmother had a great support system. My aunt used to meditate. So at seven, I started meditating. Her and I would have meditation sessions. My mother always poured positivity into me. And anybody that knew my mother was a beautiful soul, always smiling, always happy, always just pouring wisdom into you. Like all my girl cousins, we knew all the speeches my mom gave us. So I had a great childhood and I had a lot of love and a lot of nurturement. But my mother always said that life is what you make it. And so you have to move forward no matter what, you know, and whatever that takes, you know.
And you, that, because your story and everything that happens, you always move forward. You always look forward.
Yes,
and I always do. No matter what your circumstances, you don't let them define you. Number one. And number two, whatever happens, always look forward. And in thinking about that, that's easy to hear. And when you're, you know, just everybody listening to this, we've known one another for a long time. And I remember when I got the news that you were going to lose your leg, I couldn't accept it. Like nobody told me I wasn't losing my leg. You were losing your leg and I couldn't accept it. So the lesson in that is, to move forward, accepting whatever it is in the place of, okay, look at reality. Like when you went to speak, this is the situation. This is what to address. And this is what to do in doing it. Now, have there ever been any times in your life, and I think if there were, this would have been it, where that has been challenged? And how did you, despite the cards you were being dealt in losing your leg, how did you know to move forward?
So in losing my leg, I looked at my life overall and all the obstacles that I've ever been in, and I've always kept moving. And I think self-reflection and having a real sense of who you are and what life is really about, and saying, okay, I'm losing my leg, but I'm not losing my life. It's a leg. Now, do I want both of my legs? Of course, I would prefer to have both of my legs. But being that I can't keep this leg, I would die. Okay, I'm going to die or I'm going to live with one leg. We're going to live and I'm going to make the best out of it. And so once you hear that news, you digest it. And then you go, okay, God, what am I supposed to be learning from this? How do I navigate this? And okay, let's go to the prosthetic team. I want the best leg out there because this is what I want to be able to do in life. And I told them, I need to get back on the construction site. So I'm going to need a leg that when I go on the construction site, I'm not going to have to worry about falling.
And you're already back on them, everybody. Just know, like, and you've been back on them. We'll get on the phone and you're on the phone and I'm watching you walk around and do things. And I'm like, I don't think she really will. I think she just, like, she didn't really lose her. She couldn't do it, but you do.
Yeah, and I do have the best.
And I forget all the time now, by the way. Like, I don't even remember because it doesn't. Sure, there's a lot to deal with, but you don't. You're too busy for the world to hear about that.
And I don't have time to moan and I'm sorry if I could say this word, moan and bitch about it.
Yes, you can.
Well, here's the deal. I have a leg. It's a socket. It's a liner. And it's hot. And sometimes it sweats in there. So I didn't figure out how to stop the sweat to keep the leg on. There's times that I have to go to the bathroom, take the leg off, dry it off, put some powder on there, put the leg back on so the suction sucks in. So we joke about it. I said, you guys, my leg's about to fall out. I mean, you got to find
the fact that you can laugh about it. Right? I love it.
Yes, you know, because life is hard enough. And so you just have to keep going and you have to tell yourself every day, thank you, God. I love myself. I have the possibility to make my life whatever I want it. I wake up every morning with gratitude. Okay. And I just get up and I keep going. So I say that so that other people can understand that you are the orchestrator of your life, and you can make your life whatever you want. And if you pour into the negativity, you're going to make it bigger. And if you focus on the positive, we know things are going to go wrong. But if you stay in a positive point of mind, then you can see the opportunities in the challenges. And that's huge.
So you said, I'm going to go backwards for a minute, and I'm going to go into gratitude and positivity. But you said two things. You said, know who you are and remember what life is about.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you and what is life about?
So I'm a person that is always going to look for the glory in a situation. I am. That's who I am. I'm going to stay in a positive frame of mind, and I'm going to make it happen no matter what. Do I have time to sit around and be crying and feeling sorry for myself? And I'm not saying this to say that there's something wrong with people crying, because crying can be cleansing for the soul. Sometimes you just have to get it out.
Yeah.
So that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying don't wallow in it. What you have to do is make sure that you are finding solutions, lifting yourself up, surrounding yourself around like-minded people. And you have to make that circle very close-knit, because people have cancer, and it's not physical cancer in the body, but mental cancer, you know? And if you take that into your spirit, that will destroy your life. And I don't have time for that. And I never have. I was raised like that. And that is who I am. I know who I am. I'm the kind of person, I don't care if you like me. I love me. So I don't live my life according to what other people think or feel. I just don't.
I love it.
That's knowing who you are, when you don't have to worry about or wanting to be accepted, you know, or if people are not nice to you and you're wasting time trying to figure it out. That's their issue. It's not my issue. As long as I know I'm being a kind, loving person, and if they are not being that person, sometimes you got to bless them, release them, and move on. And that's how I live my life.
And that's in life. And that's the same thing in business. When you show up for people and you know what you have to offer, and if they don't want it, that's not rejection. That's the path to getting to the right people.
Exactly.
Now, you also said,
it's not even about you, it's about them, because we don't know what's going on in their lives.
Exactly. Never assume. You also said several things that remind us not to assume in business and life. And you said, know what life is about. What's life about?
Life is about connecting with people and building relationships and going through life. We're supposed to be uplifting each other and connecting with each other. And what is the core of life is love. And so we're supposed to go through life, be it your business, just personal, exuding love on humankind. And that's the way that I think. And if you see someone struggling, to lift them up, to help them, you know, and people have lost that sense of humanity. You know, people will walk right over people, you know, and not stop to help, to even ask, are you okay? And so once you are in line with the universal power of what life is about, and that's the connection to people and loving people and uplifting people and just having humankind, then all things fall in place for you.
That is so true. That is so true, because you can make all the plans you want to do great things, but when you get in line with what life is about, it's amazing how life just keeps having even better and better things to offer you.
That is very true. And opportunities come.
You talk about gratitude and positivity. Now, on gratitude, it's pretty easy to say thank you. And it's amazing the magic of where gratitude and saying thank you redirects your focus. But then we talk about positivity. And I think there's, and you and I have talked offline about this, there's a lot of confusion about what that is. How do you... I think in building our business, we've talked about things in our coaching and even in our membership that we have at Breakthrough Luxury, things like lofty questions. That's, I forgot the name, but I learned about that through Vishen Lakhiani, but it was through somebody else. But what do you have to say about positivity? How do you know if you're a positive person? How do you handle people in situations where they're not positive, but you want to support? In being a real estate agent, we have clients who want to be positive and they just get pulled because it's your home and it's emotional and all of those things, which I know is where you bring so much value to the table, that and your ability to clarify and get to the gist of it. But tell us about positivity.
So positivity is a life force energy. And so you have to lift up that energy. Okay. And by doing that, that's through prayer, meditation, and also gratitude. And so you know when a negative force comes into the room, it's a, you know, uncomfortability. And you just know that there's something about this person that the energy is just not good because you can feel it. It's a feeling in the core of your body if you're in tune. So the way to really build up your positiveness is to always be feeding your mind with positivity. If it's affirmations, if it's positive sayings, you know, being thankful and grateful, where gratitude comes in, because that's the first thing when my eyes open, thank you, God, you know, and I don't care what you call it. I'm not stuck on religious traditions. I'm stuck on spirituality, which is a deeper connection to, you know, your higher power. And so immediately I go down the list of things that I'm grateful for. I even write in a journal things that I'm grateful for. And even all during the day, any little thing that happens, I just say, thank you, God. The smallest things, thank you, God. You know, people, I'm always letting people know. I think it's very important for us. I have this saying, give me my flowers while I'm living. So that means that even the smallest things, like our assistants, when they do the work, thank you, I appreciate you. You know, that keeps you in a positive frame of mind. And I'm always telling people, you've done an awesome job. I appreciate everything that you're pouring into me, because people don't have to. And get good people to do that, they need to be appreciated.
Yeah.
And so,
that's so powerful. And remembering that, remembering when someone feels appreciated, when someone's in a positive state of mind, they're, I think I heard this from Chris Voss, but it was a study at Harvard. They literally, it's a difference of 30% in their, of whatever their normal IQ is. It can alter it by 30%.
Exactly. Because it's a frequency that goes out and it changes how they even interact with you, the job, and what they do. A lot of corporations, they try to manage by fear, you know, and that is the wrong attitude. You're not going to get productivity out of people by being mean,
who are afraid,
controlling, or having them afraid. You're only going to get 100% participation and productivity out of people by uplifting them.
Now, when you get into situations where things, because we all hit those places where, you know, we're looking at life, that's, you've got that covered, and you basically translate that into everything you do, especially business and being an agent. Things aren't always perfect, just like in life, no matter how much gratitude and positivity you get them. So when the shit hits the fan and the bitching starts, how do you deal with those situations? How do you mitigate them, navigate them, and grow and get out of them or get to the next place? What do they, or give a story for us even?
I do. That's a perfect question, because I had a client not too long ago and I didn't know that she had mental illness, but it came out she had mental illness. And she showed up, well, she called me, closing was supposed to be like maybe at 3:00. She called me at 11:30 and she says, I'm not closing. And the clients were supposed to come to do the walkthrough at like 12 o'clock. And so when she got on the phone, I didn't get upset. I didn't get angry. I said, so let me hear what you're saying again. You're saying you're not closing. I said, okay, well, I think you should go back and read the contract, because as we talked about, and I'm very thorough, I went through everything to her, it's a binding contract. You don't have that option to not close.
Right.
She goes, well, I've read a clause that says I can get out of the contract. I said, I'm sorry. We'll go over that clause because, you know, once we, I meet up with you, but again, you don't have that option. And let me tell you what the ramifications will be if you decide that you will not close. You will have to pay, you know, if we get to court, the judge is going to make you perform. So you will still have to sell the property. You're going to have to pay for the client's move and any damages that they may have incurred. And you can't say if you're having financial problems because you have another house that's free and clear. So the judge could possibly make you sell that house to satisfy the judgment. Mm-hmm. However, I suggest that you hang up from me and call an attorney immediately. And I got off the phone.
That's good advice.
And right. I was going to an event that I was being honored at. I just got off the phone. Didn't let it bother me, went to the event. I called her niece because she supposedly had power of attorney. Oh, and she told me I'll see you later. So I told her the same thing. I want you guys to be clear. This is what you're looking at. And I got off the phone with her. I called the buyer's agent. I said, I just want to give you a heads up. I know you guys are going through to do the walkthrough. She said that she's going to allow you guys to do that. And mind you, she had moved all her stuff out of the house. She shows up to closing. She comes in and says, I'm not closing. I went through the whole gamut. I think you should get on the phone with an attorney, you know, and for 4 hours we sat there. The attorney, she wanted to talk to the buyers. They're like, they were great. The agent was great. I never got upset. I never let myself personally and mentally get involved in it. I stayed neutral. I was quiet. I gave her information as I needed to because I seen that she wanted to be mad at someone and wanted to provoke. So I said, okay, I'm not going to give her that option. I'm not going to set her off. So I was very methodical about what I said to her, when I said it to her. And finally, at the end, the attorney said, well, I'm going to have you fill out this form saying you're in default. I stepped up. I said, what you want to maybe extend this contract for a couple of days. You guys go consult with an attorney so that you see what your financial ramifications are going to be. Give yourself that before you sign this paper to say that.
Wow. Good advice.
This niece said, oh, that's the best thing someone said all day. I said, excuse me. I told you guys that immediately when we talked and you said you weren't going to close. So they were trying to say she had mental illness, she was on medication, but some of this was just, I think her being a little mean as well, because prior to the closing, she had asked if the buyers would let her stay in the property a week after closing. Does have some mental illness, but she was very much coherent about what was going on, signing documents, what had transpired. So you weren't that out of it. It was like the worst situation.
And that goes back to your advice, because when you hear stories like that, it's realizing in our humanity, we all have the capacity to be good or bad, mm-hmm. just as good or bad as other people, as frightening as that is. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to two things you said. It's when you know who you are. Mm-hmm. And you're not attaching that to other people and other things. And when you know what life is about, which is gratitude, honor, serving people, connecting to people, it's amazing how it can mitigate so much. And in your situation of dealing with that, going right back to those things, knowing who you are, knowing what life is about, and never forgetting gratitude and what you bring to the table.
Exactly. And we did get her to the table and she did close 7 days later.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, in good and bad ways, but it's a reminder of like, this is what we go through. And something to learn from that too is in our business, we all, stress hits us all, and we can choose to take it on or not. And it goes back to the serenity prayer. Like, I don't remember it word for word, but have the wisdom to know the difference between what you can and can't change, have the courage to change and stand up and say something when you can.
Exactly.
And know what you can't. Mm-hmm. And know when it's not you. Know what life's about. I mean, that was like literally how you handled it. And that's being a successful real estate agent, because that mitigates issues, it solves problems naturally, and it attracts good business in the meantime and grows your business.
And everything that we needed her to do, she just push back on. And she was just trying to push buttons. Like the closing attorney wanted her to get a note from the doctor, well, the title company, because they would not secure the title, you know, insured.
I mean,
title.
It goes on. Yeah.
So it was like a mess.
So next question. I've got one more kind of big picture question about your business, and then we're going to do the quote unquote final three. The question is, when you started developing business with builders and developers and giving them these services that are not easy for them to come by and not necessarily well done very typically, and you're very good at it, what can you tell us about how do you do that? How do you figure that out? That's not that simple, like you said in the beginning, that you just show up and do it. No. How did that unfold for you? How did you figure it out?
So it morphed into when we were doing the contemporary houses, because there wasn't a lot of contemporary finishes out there in the Atlanta area. There just wasn't. So finding resources, going back to Kobe, our testing, fact finding.
How you take action, by the way. Yeah. Yeah.
So I would go research where to find our finishes, where to find our lighting, and being just a resource to them, saying, hey, I found all of these lighting fixtures. I found this company that will order them for us. So I brought resources to them, and I'm very organized. So I would set up little carts and put all the fixtures in there for each property. I would name each property, dump everything that I wanted for that property in there, label it, for the bathroom. And I just had a system. And then even setting up a system within Close to update each.
So tell everybody, Close is a CRM, and it's the main CRM that Atlanta Fine Homes uses, just so everybody knows. But so you set up a system in Close. Keep going.
I did, of where my projects were. I would go on the construction site 4 and 5 times a week. I just would hit each construction site, talk to the builders, find out where we were in the process of construction, which also gives you a lot of working knowledge of the house. So when you're showing that house, you could really speak to the bones of the house, because you know what is behind the walls. You know what the construction looks
exactly.
like.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so just being very organized like that. And so and keeping a working resource list for my builders. So as I came on to different builders, I had resources, and it kept growing and kept growing.
So I have two more questions before our final three, and it'll probably wrap around those questions. One is, in becoming a successful real estate agent, what has been your biggest aha? Like, oh, this is how it works, or oh, I didn't see it that way, and now I get that. Like, what's been your biggest aha about business?
So my biggest aha in business, I would say, has been with Breakthrough Luxury.
Oh, thanks.
I'm not saying that because we're doing this podcast. I said that from the beginning. No, seriously, you know me, I speak my mind. from the beginning, when you first started, just the systems that you have in place, most agents are just flying by the seat of their pants. You have real systems, and you dive very deep to, in each system. It's very systematized, it's very detailed, and you move fast. And I'm a fast person, I'm a fast learner as well, so it's right up my alley, it's like this. And so with those systems, you have everything you need to be successful. You have everything you need to go deeper into your business. Even the course that we had today, to go in and really think about what it is you're good at, what it is you're not good at, and learning how to really navigate that.
Yeah, structure.
Systems for that.
Yeah.
Create structure for that, because a lot of times we get busy and we're just moving through the points you know, getting to the business, what we have in front of us. And a lot of us don't focus on really putting those structures in place. And a lot of agents are really busy. And then all of a sudden they're not busy. And they're like, oh my God, what do I do? You know, I hear a lot of agents that are top agents, you know, and if you have those structures in place, you don't have to, you know, get busy and come to a standstill because your business is always, always working. It's a blueprint, you know,
a business plan. And to sum it up, what you're saying is in business, and of course, this all started when we started we had a whole another name for it. I'll disclose. We called it 12 Steps to Being a Badass Real Estate Agent.
Yes.
But in the meantime, it's Breakthrough Luxury with multiple workshops. But what you're communicating is, as a real estate agent, there's a lot out there that says, go get the business and deliver it. Mm-hmm. Just do volume. And in that, that's good to get you going and like light a fire. But if you're going to run a business and be balanced, it's how do I create? How do I stop reacting and start producing?
Mm-hmm.
And knowing the systems and steps to do it.
Exactly. So really the way that you delve down into the business, it's like you're the CEO. You've created a corporation. And so now you need teams in order to make your corporation run successfully. And you are giving the blueprint to building your corporation. And that's the way I look at it. And that's huge.
It's huge. And to bounce off of that, I think it's huge because I think, and everybody listening, this is relevant to all of us, is I'm no longer a real estate agent, but when I was an agent, is brokers support our business. As time goes by and the intricacies of what we do with technology and different kinds of properties and services and all the opportunities out there, even as individual agents out there in the big luxury brokerage, there is support and systems you need as an individual to differentiate, to be the best and deliver in where your strengths are, and understanding how to set up and the actions to take to get there quickly and to do that, because it's very relevant to understand and put in place the support you need for your specific goals, who you are, and who you serve.
Mm-hmm. And even the support that we have behind us, how you've trained them. Like,
thank you.
They think stuff before I even get to it and they will implement it. They are phenomenal. And it's a testament to how you ran your business and how you were successful. And if lack for a better word, you're giving away all your secrets. So like a lot of times at brokerages, they have all these panels of some of the top agents. And no knock to the top agents because they've worked hard to get there. But whenever we have those panels, they never go deep. It's always on the surface. You go deep to even to the fact of if you're hiring an assistant, setting up and writing an ad, you know, of what you're looking for, and the system in place of all the testing that you do to see if your personality is a match with that person.
And that's their skill set. Yeah.
And the conflict that you may arise along the way, that's huge to your business.
And to prevent reactions.
Exactly. And it's being proactive, even to what you should be paying or commission structures. People may not want to hear that, but that's intricate information that we need because, like, if you're hiring people, what does that look like for a new agent, you know? And so your systems are phenomenal.
Thank you.
It's a testament to who you are. And I'm happy and grateful to be a part of Breakthrough Luxury.
So, and in that, we're going to have to do a whole nother interview about that.
Yes.
So, Lisa, now we're going to go. Oh, one more question. In your business, so now we've talked about the aha, and the short of it is, besides the fact that we've loved working together,
mm-hmm.
having the resources to create and be proactive, not reactive.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, what do you think has been the biggest, and I may be begging the question, but regardless, in business, what is the biggest challenge you've overcome? And if you could sum it up in a couple of sentences, how did you overcome it?
So the biggest thing that I've had to overcome would be working with one leg, but it didn't stop me. However, understanding, really getting to the point to understand when it was time to level up my business and bring in extra help, because my business was thriving. But just think about how much more work I could do bringing in the right support. And I think getting the tools that I have now, not just bringing someone in, but bringing in the right person based on my personality and understanding who they are, is huge to me. So for me, that would be the biggest, you know, aha moment, or could be challenge of knowing the right people to bring in, you know, because people always show up with their representative. I say that all the time. And then once you get past the representative and you really start to see how people work and, you know, their motivation or their skill set, it doesn't always align with you, you know, and how much time you can save by the information and the tools that I have now to really dive deep.
See, there we go back. We're going to have to interview on the breakthrough. Like, we really are, because you articulated it so well, and thank you. So I think the biggest ever coming challenges, what it comes back to is knowing the problem, but not getting sucked into the problem, knowing the problem and identifying, focusing, and acting on the solutions.
Exactly.
Final three.
Yes.
Number one, if you could identify one tool, resource, activity, technology, whatever it is that has been most impactful on your success in real estate, a philosophy, what would you say it is?
So what is making me super successful and really leveling up is the systems that you put in place with the support that I have now. It's freeing me up to be able to go out and get more business. And with all the business that we have, which we will have over 200 properties.
This year.
Yes. And we met with our investors yesterday, and there's going to even be more projects on the table. And so we're getting ready to start getting revved up because they're getting ready to break ground on some of these projects. The systems that we have in place to be able to perform with this level of business that we have is huge.
And lean.
Yeah, it is very, it's huge.
And stay lean. You're not stacking a lot of stuff. You're just creating efficiency and productivity.
Exactly.
What if there's one book that has impacted your life or career and you're like, y'all got to read this, what is it?
Well, I love the Chris Voss.
And I never saw the difference.
Yes. And the Chris Voss, especially with dealing with the client that had the mental illness, you know, the mirroring, to just be quiet, you know, the silence, being uncomfortable with the silence, you know.
Count to four.
That book was huge. It really came into play when I needed it.
It always does.
There are several books that I love. And I read a lot of books on mindset, but that book I was able to really apply to an extremely difficult situation. And that situation could have been volatile.
Wow, that's powerful. Yeah. It's a game changer. Mm-hmm. All right, last question. If there is one thing you hope we take away from this conversation today, me and everybody listening, if we're going to just forget everything else, which we are better not, what would it be? What is it?
So what I would think and hope that people take away from this conversation is to love themselves, love other people, and it costs nothing to be kind. And if you can just do those three components, you will see how your life will take a different shape in business and in personal. And I always say I'm a big component of mindset. If your mind's not right, nothing's gonna go right. And so your mind and your body is your temple, and you need to keep it at an even keel, at a positive frequency, and really love yourself, and that will radiate out into the world. And those are things that you can use for success. Those are real tools.
Thank you. Great advice. Be kind. Honor your mind, your body, and your spirit, and be kind.
Yes.
Thank you, Lisa.
Kindness out here in the world. People need.
Hey, that stuff is free. Spread it everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Thanks for listening to the Jerry Metcalf Podcast, where top real estate agents tell how they do it. If you like this episode, please share it with friends. To find more episodes, search Jerry Metcalf Podcast on any platform for podcasts, or go to jerrymetcalfpodcast.com. That's jerrymetcalfpodcast.com.